32. "Don't," said a voice behind him. One word, calm and cold. Truss and Svetlana both looked past Eli. Svetlana pushed her hand into her coat, but a bark from the newcomer stopped her. Eli tried to swing himself around, but it only made his trapped knee ignite again. The old man glanced at the wall, at the outside.
"No," said Harry's voice. "She won't be waking up any time soon, and when she does, she's going to have a nasty scar."
"Didn't kill her, then?"
"Saving all the bullets for you," she said sweetly. "Can you walk, Eli?"
"Maybe,"
he grunted.
"Release him," she said.
"I'm glad you're here," said Truss. "Better to have this talk face to face."
"We have nothing to talk about,"
said Harry. Her voice sounded sharper, closer.
"Release Eli, now."
"Well, well, well," the old man said. "We find ourselves negotiating after all. I'm holding something you want. You're holding something I want."
"I'm holding a 45 pointed at your head. I'd be careful about saying what you want right now."
"You have it, don't you?"
His smile was half awe, half greed.
"You've got the favor."
"I don't know what you're—"
"Don't play the fool with me," snapped Truss. "You've got Porter's favor. The only one he ever gave out."
Silence crashed down on the barn, broken by the sound of wind stretching tight across the building's corners.
"A simple trade," the old man said. "Give me the favor, I give you Teague. Everyone's happy."
"Seeing as I still have this gun pointed at your head,"
said Harry,
"my counteroffer is that you cut him down and I'll make an honest effort not to shoot you."
Truss leered at her.
"You're very impressive, Pritchard, but I think you're still not seeing the big picture."
He tipped his head toward Eli and Svetlana.
"From where I'm sitting, I can see the knife my woman's holding to Teague's leg. That's the femoral artery?"
Svetlana grunted.
"Eli?"
asked Harry.
"Yeah,"
he called into his armpit.
"Still here."
"The knife?"
Eli glanced down. The matte black blade looked like plastic or maybe some kind of ceramic. Both sides had an edge and a curve, giving it a leaf-like shape. The point pressed hard enough against Eli's jeans that he couldn't see the tip.
"Very real."
Truss's leer spread.
"Stalemate. Back to negotiations."
"What guarantee do I have you'll let him go?"
The old man snorted.
"As I was just telling our mutual friend here, I couldn't care less about the two of you. I just want the favor."
A new sound rumbled beneath the gusts of wind. A distant engine growing closer. Truss's eyes flitted back and forth behind his lenses.
"Sounds like Helena's back on her feet and behind the wheel. She'll be here soon. And then our negotiations will be at an end. 3-1.
3-2,
said Harry.
"I don't think Teague is in a position to help, but if you want to pass him one of your pistols, you're welcome to."
Truss glanced up at Eli's bound hands.
"Assuming you can reach."
The engine's rumble grew louder. Eli couldn't be sure in the quiet of 1886, but he guessed the car to be maybe 2, maybe 3 miles away and closing.
"Take the knife away and we'll talk," Harry said.
"Give me the favor and I'll have her take the knife away."
"I don't have it on me,"
said Harry. The old man shook his head.
"That's a shame. Make Teague bleed a little."
"I said I didn't have it on me,"
she repeated.
"I didn't say it wasn't here."
Truss scowled, then understanding lifted his brows. He looked up at Eli.
"You've been holding out on me."
"No,"
said Eli.
"No, I haven't."
"He doesn't know,"
Harry said.
"I slipped it into his jacket pocket."
The old man's eyes went wide behind the square lenses.
He twisted to look at the wool coat spread across the crate. He took a step toward it.
Uh-uh, said Harry. Not another inch until Eli's down.
Truss stepped anyway and stretched out greedy fingers. Harry shot the coat. The crate bucked as the blast rang out between the barn's planks. Truss shouted out some creative swears. Eli cringed, Svetlana flinched, and the tip of the knife pricked Eli's thigh.
Eli comes down, Harry repeated.
As the sound of the gunshot faded, the engine sound returned. It was louder than the wind now. Eli recognized it.
Now,
he said, trying to twist his head back. He forced his voice to stay calm.
Get me down,
now. Truss reached back, never taking his eyes off the wool coat, and waved at Svetlana. The big woman looked up at Eli and shook her head. She pulled the knife away and spun the crossbar on the vise. The pressure vanished so fast Eli gasped from the sudden lack of pain. Then he swung away from the bench and began to creak back and forth. He turned on the rope and Harry came into view. Her tricorn was mashed down on her head. The Colts stretched out before her, one aimed at each of Eli's captors. Svetlana did something and he dropped a few inches. The dirt floor slapped up against his soles. His knee flared and static roared through his brain. He wobbled, lashed out, and grabbed a sleeve. He pulled, tried to lift his leg and get his balance at the same time. His spine felt long and loose. The sleeve belonged to Svetlana. The big woman made no effort to brush Eli off, but also none to steady him further. She just stared at Eli like someone who'd found an odd-colored stain on her arm. Harry stepped forward.
Come to me, Eli.
He pushed off the big woman and staggered over to Harry. Staples and thumbtacks filled the space around his knee, biting with every step. She flung her arm around his back and he threw one across her shoulders. The pistol under his arm settled back on Svetlana.
It's okay, she said. I've got you.
Eli saw his hat on a lopsided chair. He snatched it up, pressed it down on his head, and leaned close to Harry.
We have to go,
he whispered.
Now.
I can hold them off. It's not them I'm worried about.
Their eyes met. She stared at him, trying to read his expression. Then her mouth wavered and she swallowed. Eli gave the smallest nod he could.
But they can't come to Hourglass,
she murmured under her breath.
We're not in Hourglass,
Eli whispered back.
If you're sure your boy toy's unharmed,
Truss said. His fingers stretched and clawed at the air. Harry kept the gun on Svetlana, gestured with the one covering the old man. Truss scurried to the coat. His fingers searched across the wool and worked their way into one of the pockets. Then they slid over, plunged into the second pocket, and flailed inside. His gasp sounded like old man sex. He withdrew from the pocket, his fist tight. He scuttled to one of the lamps. Harry glanced at Eli's knee.
Can you walk?
I can manage.
Truss held the small disc up to the light. His ecstatic look faded to a scowl.
This isn't it,
he snarled.
This isn't even a goddamned favor. It's not marked.
He flipped the green-edged poker chip between his fingers, then flung it at the fire pit.
Buyer beware,
Harry called across the room. Outside the barn, the car engine roared like a monster come to life. The Hudson Hornet smashed through the plank wall, a battering ram of black steel and chrome. Splinters and nails darted in every direction. Truss made a loud squawking noise like a frightened bird. One of the lanterns flew across the room, just missing Svetlana and exploding against a beam. Oil splashed across wood and straw before igniting. The Hornet's doors swung open like spreading wings. The tall, faceless man from Boston stepped out of the driver's side. The shorter one from Independence emerged across from him.
Hello,
they said in unison. Flames from the lamp already covered a quarter of the barn. Svetlana moved to put herself between Truss and the faceless men, even though it pushed her employer closer to the flames. Harry elbowed Eli back toward the door while trying to keep all their enemies at gunpoint. The smaller faceless man drew his pistol, a huge semi-automatic, and aimed it at Eli. His shoulders tensed.
Eli Teague,
he said. His free hand twitched and flexed at his side, clenching into a fist, open, closed, open, closed. Eli limped backward and stared at the smaller, faceless man. His eyes stretched wide in the fire-dry air.
Zeke?
The name staggered the faceless man. The arrogance flowed out of his stance. His fingers twitched open and trembled.
Zeke! What did they—
Zero! Snapped the tall, faceless man. Stay on mission!
Zeke, Zero, clenched his fist one last time. He shot Eli. Pain thrust into Eli's aching shoulder and exploded into hot knives. Svetlana raised her pistol and fired, squeezing the trigger again and again. A bullet sparked off the Hornet's door. The tall, faceless man jerked once, twice, and then his head snapped to the side.
15!
Snarled Zero. His pistol swung around and shot Svetlana. The round plowed through the top of her scalp and sent part of it spraying back into the flames. A river of blood washed down over her eyes as she tumbled back. Truss shrieked again. Eli wobbled, his shoulder a mass of burning, grinding shards that blotted out the pain in his knee. Harry grabbed him by the waist before he could fall over. She dragged him away from the fire and toward the door. His head lolled back, and he locked eyes with Truss through the smoke. The old man scurried after them, then backtracked to go around a pile of burning hay. The tall, faceless man, 15, straightened up. He rolled his head twice and his neck gave out a loud pop. The thin plastic of his mask was cracked and curled along one cheek.
Archibald Truss,
he said, his voice booming over the fire.
Also known as Reginald Truss, Aristotle Truss, and Edward Longcarriage.
Please understand,
said the old man.
I'm no threat to you. I'm not even interested in the dream. Never looked for it once. I just want to conduct my business.
15 reached into his coat and slid his own pistol from its hidden holster. Harry swung Eli around and flames replaced his view. The temperature in the barn had to be close to 100 degrees and rising fast. The flames crawled across the rafters and inched down the beams. Clouds of smoke billowed near the barn's ceiling but crept downward.
Richard!
Shrieked the old man from across the room.
Call in the favor! I'll give you whatever—
Another gunshot echoed behind them. Truss stopped pleading.
Eli Teague!
Shouted Zero. Whatever other comments he had vanished beneath the sound of his pistol. Harry kicked the door open and dragged Eli through. The outside hit him like he'd been pushed into a pool of ice water. It seemed ink black after the eye-squinting brightness of the burning barn. Harry kept pulling on his waist and Eli staggered after her. His feet kicked stones he couldn't see and stumbled on the uneven ground. The razors of hot pain in his knee and shoulder stabbed at every nerve.
Come on, Harry gasped. Eleanor's this way.
The cold air gnawed at his face and hands, but sweat drenched his torso inside his shirt. He could feel it dripping down his back and chest. He tried to catch his breath, and Harry yanked him forward again. Eli blinked once, twice, thrice, and the world rose up out of the darkness. He could see a few scraggly bushes and patches of grass. Orange light played off a boulder to his left. Touches of it flickered across the landscape. It stood out against the pale moonlight blanketing everything else. His eyes adjusted, and the dark blue blur next to him became Harry. She stepped over a pale log. He tried to follow her, caught his toe, and almost fell. He turned it into a low-hanging stagger and pushed himself back up with his next few steps. It made his knee scream and his shoulder howl. A few more steps, and a shape in the distance resolved into the familiar lines of Eleanor. Maybe another 100 feet. Eli felt dizzy and cold, but he could make another 100 feet. He wished he still had his coat. He'd have to grab one of the blankets once they were away. He blinked again. He could feel the sweat drenching his body and his clothes, but shivers ran through his limbs. His fingers bordered on painfully cold. Only one side of his body was sweating. He reached up and touched his shoulder. Raw pain cut into his flesh and he yanked his hand back. The warm sweat on his fingers was dark in the moonlight. Dark and sticky. Harry glanced over at him.
Not far now.
Then the relief on her face shifted to worry. She staggered to a halt.
Eli?
He leaned into her, then looked down at his blood-stained shirt. It gleamed wet and dark.
We, he said, we should get to the car.
Then the world whirled around him and became ink black again.